This is Reset. I'm Susie On, in for Jen White. They're in your home, they're in your office. You get them, you give them, you buy them, you make them, you love them, you hate them. That's right. Holiday time means baked goods. And many of the cookies and cakes that surround us right now are made with vanilla. But what is vanilla? And where does it come from? Matt Nielsen is a third-generation owner of Nielsen Massey Vanillas in North Suburban Waukegan, and he's here to tell us everything we'd want to know about this small but important ingredient. Matt, welcome to Reset.
Hello, Susie. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's first start off with vanilla, the plant. Most people don't know that it comes from the same family as a beautiful and well-known flower. Tell us a little bit about the plant.
Yeah, so people don't realize that vanilla actually is the fruit of an orchid, and there's only a few orchid varieties worldwide that can actually produce a vanilla bean. So it's definitely a very unique thing that people do not realize.
So, you know, I see like those pictures on like vanilla bottles of like a white flower with like, you know, maybe some pods hanging down. Is that kind of what the plant looks like?
That's exactly right. So it's actually, you know, when people think of orchids and you go to a florist shop or a greenhouse and you see these beautiful orchids, and the vanilla orchid is actually disappointingly really plain. Maybe that's another reason why people call vanilla plain. I don't know. But yes, it's a very kind of plain, small orchid that would fit in the palm of your hand. It's a very kind of white, kind of light green in color. None of those like vibrant, striking variations or anything like that, and really doesn't have any aroma either as an orchid. So it's really kind of a plain orchid, and it actually grows on a vine, and the vine itself uses trees for support, and that vine can grow 50 to 70 feet in length. So it can reach, if it's not trained properly, it can reach the canopies of the trees. But of course, the farmers will train them and keep them within, you know, a reasonable height around the base of a tree so that they can cultivate the orchid and produce the vanilla beans.
So you mentioned farms. It sounds like this is grown on a farm, not in the wild.
Well, it's both. So it's certainly you can find it in the wild, but for farmers that are, you know, trying to actually cultivate it and harvest it and make it available for world consumption, they're of course going to have some control over where they grow that and how they grow it. And vanilla vines themselves, so when you plant a new vine, it takes 3 to 5 years before it matures enough to where you could actually start to produce vanilla beans on that vine. And then the vine itself will only last for about 7 to 10 years. So because of that, farmers will continuously plant new vines throughout their area in order to make sure that they always have vines available to produce vanilla beans.
So the actual flavor just comes from the beans then?
Well, it does. So as it's growing, it actually grows as a green bean. And one of the other unique things about this orchid itself is that it actually has to be hand-pollinated. There is a membrane between the stamen and the pistil that prevents it from naturally being pollinated. So the farmers have to go in with essentially a bamboo toothpick and break that membrane and press the stamen and the pistil together in order to pollinate that orchid. And then we will get one vanilla bean from each orchid that is pollinated. So it's super
labor intense.
Yes. And the other unique thing that's kind of crazy about it is that the orchids only blossom one day a year for a few hours. Luckily, they don't all happen on the same day, so there's not a mad dash of going around and pollinating orchids, but it'll happen within a 30 to 45 day window. So the farmers have to be very diligent about visiting their vines, pollinating the orchids that are blossoming at the time that they are, and also keeping track of how many they're pollinating, because they don't necessarily want to pollinate every orchid on a vine that blossoms, because that could then burden the vine and impact the quality of the vanilla bean that's grown on that vine. So they're very calculated about what they do and how they do it, which is pretty amazing.
So how is, the flavor delivered to a recipe, you know, beans, extract, paste?
Yeah, there's so many different varieties, and you know, we've been good in the industry of being pretty innovative when it comes to different product forms. So everybody knows vanilla extract. That's kind of the standard that people see in supermarkets and especially food stores, places where you'll find our products. So the vanilla extract is the extraction of the vanilla flavoring from the vanilla bean itself. And we use what's called a cold extraction process. So everything we produce is at room temperature. We don't introduce any heat into the process. Most manufacturers use what's called a heat extraction process, and they can produce a batch in 2 to 3 days. The problem with that is that the vanilla bean, as we know it, has over 400 different flavor compounds, and many of them are very sensitive to heat during that initial extraction process. So if you use heat, you end up burning off or kind of volatilizing those flavor compounds, which is why we use exclusively a cold extraction process. It's a much longer, gentler process. It takes us 3 to 5 weeks to produce a single batch, but because we're not introducing heat, we're actually extracting the full flavor potential out of that vanilla bean. So our product is known for having such a greater depth of flavor because of it. With that extract, we can then produce vanilla paste, vanilla bean paste, which is a combination of the vanilla extract and the vanilla bean into a thickened base. We have a vanilla powder, a vanilla sugar. We do sell the whole beans, and we sell from growing regions all throughout the world, even though Madagascar is kind of considered to be the standard, and they are by far the largest grower in the world.
Well, I want to talk about the price of vanilla. I mean, it isn't cheap, and it seems to fluctuate quite a bit. I read at one point last year, a kilo of vanilla was more expensive than a kilo of silver. What are the factors that determine the price?
Yeah, it's crazy. So as I mentioned, you know, vanilla is very labor intensive. So it's hand pollination. It grows on the vine for a good 7 to 8 months before it's harvested. And then it goes through a 6 to 8 month curing process. So the whole process of pollinating till beans are ready for export from the growing regions is about 12 to 14 months. So it's a really long process. So that in itself explains why it's the second most expensive spice after saffron. What also happens is that vanilla only grows essentially 10 to 20 degrees north and south of the equator. And those are areas that are subject to intense weather, and some political instability can certainly play a role as well. And we also rely on one major growing area. So 80% of the world's supply, as I said before, comes from Madagascar. So it can be a challenge. And so weather conditions will play a part. There's normal cycles in the growing of vanilla beans where we'll have really good harvests for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and then the vines will just kind of say, all right, we've had enough. They take a year off, not completely, but and we see a little dip in production, and then the next year it bounces back up. But unfortunately, with weather instability, and in particular, Madagascar had a cyclone that hit them 2.5 years ago and destroyed 30% of the harvest that was on the vine, and that immediately just, you know, causes an increase in price because availability is down, demand is high. It's, you know, kind of that free market concept of when there's less availability and more demand, prices just start shooting high.
So as a consumer, how do you know when, you know, vanilla is good or very good?
That's a good question. So, you know, obviously it's about knowing the brand, and trusting people that utilize products. You know, doing research on the companies, understanding what their extraction processes are. So a company like us that uses cold extraction, we feel will be a better quality product than an alternative. But it's not also just about their processes. It's about the quality of the raw materials they're using. We like to highlight certainly the fact that we're a family business. We think that provides us, you know, a little bit of an edge because of the values that we hold as a family, as well as, you know, the efforts that we put into supporting the farmers, and the inroads that we've made in going in country and working with the villages and being able to provide for the villages. So it's really, to me, it becomes that whole package of trusting the company that you want to support, knowing, you know, in our case that there's a family behind it. We're very proud of that. Mm-hmm. We have always done a lot to support both the local community as well as the communities where we source our raw materials. And, you know, I think that really just is really important for consumers to understand that.
And Matt, really quickly, we're going to have to wrap it up, but very quickly, what's your all-time favorite recipe that includes vanilla?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's like asking me what is my favorite child. So my favorite recipe. So I'm a barbecue freak. I love barbecue, and I actually, as a hobby, I have a barbecue team. And
we're gonna have to wrap it there. So we'll just say it's some weird vanilla barbecue recipe. All right, that's Matt Nielsen. He's Vice President of Strategic Initiatives and third generation owner of Nielsen Massey Vanillas in North Suburban Waukegan. Matt, thanks for the info and happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Susie.